And our gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 1, and it's verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alison.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Good to see all of you this morning and to see all your comments and hear all your traditions as well. That's great. So for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Alison, ordinand here at St Mary's. Let's pray before we start looking at this passage. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this morning. We pray that you would speak to each one of us. We pray that those things from you would stick with us and anything that is not of you would fall away. In your name, amen. So the passage we've just heard read to us is a really clear demonstration of God speaking to us with powerful words in the midst of the messiness of life. So we dive straight in. Mary was engaged to Joseph and pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That is huge. This single verse alone is an enormous statement. We today are familiar with the idea of God coming to earth as a baby, the incarnation of the divine and human form. At the time, the enormity of this would have been unimaginable, hugely controversial and wholly unexpected. For Jews at this time, God's presence was so full of awe that it was treasured and held in a special part of the temple, behind a curtain where no one but the chief priest could go once per year. People would have been absolutely incredulous, imagining God coming to earth as flesh and blood, needing fed and having nappies changed. So this is the setup, the preface to where we're going. We're then introduced to the main character in this passage. We learn something about Joseph, that he was righteous and wanted to do the right thing by Mary. His suggestion to dismiss her was a reflection of a measured approach. Ancient law would even have permitted stoning her to death in this circumstance. So bringing the engagement to end is a much gentler approach than the alternative he could have taken. We then get to the action. So just when Joseph had made a plan, the angel of the Lord appeared when he was asleep and told him to take Mary as his wife, that her baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit and that the baby, to be called Jesus, was to save the people from their sins. Joseph woke up and he obeyed. He married Mary, the baby was born, and they called him Jesus. It all sounds terribly straightforward. However, I suspect this was not straightforward for Joseph. Having God speak into our lives is a privilege, but it isn't necessarily easy, and the steps he may ask us to take may be challenging. There are lots of things that can get in the way of us hearing from God. One is that we may feel we don't deserve to hear from him. Our response being, who am I that God would want to speak to me? There may be a temptation to ignore his nudge, thinking that if he'd something he wanted to say, he would talk to Andrew or Stephanie or Susie. Why would he talk to me? That's our thinking. We think of all the elements of who we are that the world tell us might make us unworthy. It could be our age, feeling too young or too old. It could be that we feel not educated enough, that we might not be able to hear from him. It could be things that we believe about ourselves, that we aren't good enough, or we've done things that are wrong that mean God would never, ever want to engage with us. And I imagine Joseph might have felt some of these things. He didn't have much money. He didn't have much education. He was a carpenter. He would have felt a deep sense of shame over the fact that Mary, who he was engaged to, was pregnant. He was in a very difficult position and his life was messy. From what we know, he was trying to do the right thing as best he could. And God spoke into this place of his feeling shame and guided him in what to do. I noticed the words used by the angel, Joseph, son of David, a reminder that Joseph is of the line of David, a line of royalty and a line over which many prophecies had been spoken, including the Old Testament passage for today, which is from Isaiah. O house of David, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. We haven't heard this verse this morning in this service, but we will hear it in church later. And I encourage you all to look at that, because it connects really closely to what we've heard today from Matthew. I wonder if this reminder of his lineage from the angel was a means of bolstering Joseph's belief that he is worthy and this is all part of God's plan, a moment of understanding, reassurance from the Father who knows and loves Joseph. I also noticed the words, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. How telling this is. Joseph was afraid of the shame of the situation he might be in, potentially afraid of the impact on his wider family, that this might dishonour their name in some way, perhaps afraid for the outcome for Mary. God uses this moment to speak into the messiness and fear of Joseph's life at this time. He offers a reminder that he is part of God's plan not to be afraid and gives him direction for the steps he should take for the situation he's in. God speaks, Joseph acts, and ultimately Jesus is born and offers us his love and forgiveness. Earlier this week, I joined a meeting with ordinands from colleges across the country, some of whom are studying in residential mode. So they're staying in a theological college specifically set up for this purpose. They're surrounded by other people who are studying all the time. So they are absolutely steeped in learning and academia. Listening to them speak, my initial reaction was to feel wholly unworthy to be part of that conversation because I felt my knowledge and experience to be so inferior to theirs. And this was playing on my mind as I began to prepare for today, wondering how on earth God could possibly use me to speak his message. But I realised that the answer is in the passage in a way. God spoke to and used Joseph. And along with many other unlikely people, I am part of that same gang. Throughout the season of Advent, we've spoken about it being a time of waiting and watchfulness. Yes, looking forward to Christmas and the celebration of the first coming of Jesus, and also looking forward to the time when Jesus will return. This is a season to be expectant that God will be speaking to us. However unworthy we may feel, or however messy the situation we are in, he can speak to us. With Christmas coming, life may feel very messy right now. But God will speak, just as he did for Joseph. And we should never exclude ourselves. An angelic God-given word may be coming just for you, even if you've never considered that God might speak to you. And I think there is something important about our own thinking in this. Where our thoughts dwell is where our hearts incline. And it's good to be open to God speaking to us, to remember that, to open up here in our heads so that we can be open up here in our hearts. And one point I felt prompted to make this morning is about timing. God's timing is perfect. And it may be you've been waiting to hear from him for a long time. And this is just a reminder that we're diving into the overarching narrative of the Bible at a point when God hadn't spoken for about 400 years. So we're at the end of a period called the Great Silence. Then God is actively speaking to a very unlikely person, a carpenter in a backwater with a pregnant fiance. But the message comes at just the right moment when it's needed for Joseph to take the step required of him to play his part in this greatest of stories. And God will speak to us at just the right moment for us to play our part in his story, which continues today. I would love us all to leave today knowing with absolute assurance and confidence that we're embraced by God's love and he wants to speak to us, irrespective of the messiness you're in. There are lots of ways he might speak to us. He will have specific messages and ways of communicating those that are for us individually, and we need to be listening for those. But the overarching message of this season is for us to come. Advent is Latin for coming or arrival, and we look forward to the coming of the kingdom in all its fullness. And at the same time, God is calling us to come to him, to leave all the stress and messiness of the turkey planning, the family tension, for some people, maybe a sense of impending loneliness, difficult memories of Christmas's past, maybe thinking about people we've lost, stresses about money or travel plans, setting all those things down and just coming to him, to sit at his feet, to rest and be in his presence, listening to what he might have to say to us in this season at this time. Just going to spend a few moments praying now, and I would love to begin with a special set of words. So the seven